Hello and welcome to another edition of the Hitting the Hardwood Podcast, your home for all the latest Minnesota Lynx and WNBA news, analysis, and coverage. Thank you for tuning in to another episode. I'm your host, Mitchell Hansen, and it's hard to believe it. We say this every year, but the NCAA tournament is officially in the books. March Madness is officially in the books. It seems like it goes by in a blink of an eye, as it does every year. But what a tournament it was. It was an incredibly entertaining tournament. It was a record-breaking tournament as far as viewership. I know ESPN announced specifically for the Final Four in the national championship game between Iowa and South Carolina that they broke a bunch of TV records, viewership records, which just shows not only the impact of, everybody knows Caitlin Clark, her impact, but just how much the game is growing. And it was an incredibly entertaining tournament, a lot of fun to watch, as a lot of other people could agree with and saw as well. So a really successful tournament. And hopefully the women, her college basketball and women's basketball in general, can kind of capitalize on that moving forward. But with that said, we're officially in the WNBA season. We're officially in April. The WNBA draft was held April 15th, and we're there. It's training camp starts at the end of the month. WNBA regular season starts off mid-May. So we're in full force. We're in full swing. It seems like as soon as the college basketball season ends, the WNBA is up next. So that's what we're entering into right now. Like I said, we'll see teams entering training camp specifically for the Minnesota Lynx. They'll be starting April 28th down in Minneapolis at their practice facility. But we'll see an entertaining few weeks leading up to preseason action and ultimately the regular season. So it seems like it's one thing after another in women's basketball, and we're officially there. We still have some Lynx players who are playing overseas, as well as other WNBA players playing overseas, wrapping up their season, so they might be late going into training camp, but they'll be at the with their teams and in their markets at the start of the regular season. So we're in full swing, like I said. We're here. I'm excited to begin another season with you all, and I appreciate you tuning into another episode and listening. And I hope you do so all season long. I will also provide an update on the podcast scheduling here in our next podcast as far as how often we're going to be doing the podcast. I know during the off season it adjusted compared to last season. So I'll share an update with that, update with all of you in our next podcast recording. Speaking of this week's podcast, I am very excited to have a former Minnesota Lynx player join me on this week's podcast. Somebody who I've had on the podcast before, somebody who you are all well aware of and well are familiar with, I should say. And recently she just earned the ultimate honor for a basketball player, not only women's basketball player, men's basketball player, any basketball player, coach, front office personnel, whatever it may be. The one and only Simone Augustus, who will be, as part of the class of 2024, will be one of the newest members of the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. So congratulations to Simone, first of all. I appreciate her joining me. She joined me right after finding out about her induction into the Hall of Fame. And it's a really great conversation with Simone, just talking about what this means to her, what her career meant to her in totality, and what this honor means as she puts everything or puts a bow on everything when it comes to her playing career. But as she mentions in the podcast, she's still tuning into women's basketball. She's still following the Lynx. She'll still be at Lynx games this season, and she's still a fan, and she still is dedicated to giving back, not only to the Minnesota community, the Minneapolis, the Twin Cities communities, but also in her local community and the basketball community at large. So without further ado, let's jump right into the podcast with Simone Augustus. I usually say the one and only Simone Augustus, but now I have to say the Hall of Famer Simone Augustus. Simone, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, Mitchell.
Well, first of all, congratulations. I know I mentioned it to you before we hopped on to this recording, but I first of all want to congratulate you on the big news of entering the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. As I said, I'm not surprised by any means, but I'm very happy for you. And I know I speak for a lot of people that we are very excited to hear that you'll officially be entering the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I mean, I'm excited as well. Obviously, I was there last year when Waylon got inducted, and just sitting there as a proud teammate and, seeing her get enshrined was amazing, not knowing that mine would be right around the corner. And so now here I am and, truly thankful, for the career that I had and that people loved it or respected it enough to put me into the Hall of Fame.
How did you find out? How did that whole process work out?
They actually called and I missed the call. I checked the, I know I checked the voicemail and it was the president of the board of, you know, the Naismith or whatever. And I was just kind of like, I don't know. And right after that, they sent the email that confirmed it. And it was like, you know, congratulations, yada, yada, yada. And it had the Naismith stamp and so on and so forth. So at that moment, it was like, oh, okay, this is for real. And after that, it was a few more phone calls to kind of solidify everything and set up interviews and do that. So I was just like, oh my God, like I missed the most important call of my basketball career.
What did it hit you right away? Did it take some time to kind of sink in and realize like, holy crap, I'm actually a Hall of Famer. I'm actually getting inducted into this the most exclusive club you can possibly get in.
Yeah, it actually it hit me the day it announced on Saturday. Once it came out and everybody just flooded me with text messages and emails and all this love and stuff, and I just kind of sat there. And at that moment was when I had my moment of like, oh my God, like, you know, what I've done, what I've meant to people, whether, you know, a lot of competitors, opponents, you know, some of my peers that, you know, came up in the class of 06, like everybody was just like, oh my God, I can't believe it. You know, planning to be there, like to support me. Like you never know what you've done for people or what you mean to people until something like this happens. And so I had my the floodgates open for me, you know, at that moment.
Yeah, absolutely. What just kind of talking about that support, that love that you did receive. I mean, I saw it all over social media, and that's not even a tenth of what you saw on your phone and the calls and text messages that you got. But just explain the love that you received from maybe the Lynx community and the basketball community at large.
Oh man, the Lynx community is always amazing. Obviously, it felt like every season ticket holder, every person that's been a part of my career for what, the 14, 15 years that I was there, they just reached out. I mean, you can only imagine from even the staff, everybody from the staff, the Wolves side, I mean, you name it. I had so many people reach out and just were thankful for the experience they had with me and was so proud of me and just sending so much love. And then just from the basketball community, you know, I think it never hits you because you're a competitor. So when you're competing, you don't think about the admiration that some of your peers have for you. And I think that took me back a little bit because, you know, most people hold on to grudges or wins or losses or whatever it may be over the years, but so many people were just like the way that you carried yourself, who you were when you were competing, it was just the utmost respect, and I, you know, I'm glad that I was able to experience that.
Yeah, one thing, that I noticed, or one thing that the Hall of Fame makes clear is kind of their criteria for who they induct. And they said a person or personnel who have changed the game over the years. And to me, that's you in a nutshell. I mean, you've changed the game throughout your career. Do you kind of view it as that way? Or I guess what do you feel like your impact was on not only the game but the basketball world and just kind of the community and everything that you have touched throughout your career?
Man, if I'm being honest, I, you know, when I look at players like Maya and Candace and Diane, I'm like, I didn't have as big of an impact as they did, you know, but I had an impact that I didn't even know. And it could be as simple as like Laysha Clarendon, you know, was at the ESPN Summit or something. And she spoke about like, I didn't see someone like myself until I saw Simone, you know, a masculine queer woman that was unapologetically herself and, you know, stood there. You know, people talked about tattoos and the influence of me having a sleeve and how so many girls then either got tattoos or felt comfortable exposing their tattoos, you know, basically using my voice and, you know, things like that. So I never really, you know, for me, I never really thought I had that big of an impact until people started to tell me how I impacted the game. And then when you think about the style of play, people were just like, yo, you play like a dude to play. The way that you play, the handles, your jump shot, you know, they like you and Melo, basically a brother sister with the style of play that you all had. And so when I hear that, I'm just like, oh man, like that's dope because I did play, you know, grow up playing against guys and you never really know how your game is going to translate or if people really gonna appreciate it. And they was like, nah, we loved it to the T. Like we loved everything about your game. And I was like, well, that made me feel good.
And to to kind of go on to kind of feed off of that too. I mean, I view you as somebody that not only impacted the game, what you did on the court, but what you did in the community. And I think that's something that's so great about, the Lynx organization in general. And you're obviously a big part of that is what you guys do in the community and off the court as well. Do you feel like that's something that you took pride in throughout your career, and that as much as you were dedicated on the court, kind of giving back in not only in your local community where you're from, but also in Minnesota as well?
And you know what? I have to take my hat off to Coach Reeves because she was the one that used her voice a lot. Like she was pushing us out there. You know, she knew what we possessed and she wanted us to be able to use it. And though we were fearful for whatever reason, it could have been just for myself. It's like, oh, I gotta speak, I gotta talk, I gotta, do all this stuff. And she's like, yes, you do. And the first few times that I got out there, whether it's, with the underprivileged kids at different high schools around Minneapolis or the LGBTQ community, just being out and being vocal with them. I mean, it was so many amazing moments where I'm like, now I understand, why I was put in the position I was put in, why I'm surrounded by the people that I'm surrounded by, and what I'm supposed to be doing, like my purpose. Like it's not just to put the ball through the basket, but it's to inspire and, move people in ways that in their career path, they can continue to elevate, the next human being. Next human being, and so with that, I always took pride in it. Once it started, I couldn't stop, and I don't plan on stopping. I plan on continuing to give back in ways that I can, whether it's vocally, financially, or just time-wise, just being there.
When you look back at everything that you've kind of received after your playing career, I mean, you obviously this Hall of Fame, the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame, getting a statue at LSU, your number retired at LSU, Minnesota Lynx. Like, what does that mean to you? I mean, because that is an impressive resume that you're not only putting together from the resume that you accomplished during your career, but now you're building onto that. What does that mean to you when you kind of take a step back and look at all of that?
You know what? I literally thought about that. Seal texted me yesterday, day before, and obviously was like, congratulations, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, you need to get ready for your celebration tour as well. I was like, and when I thought about it, I was like, Seal, everywhere we stopped, we've had an impact. And just what you just said, LSU, your jersey retired, Minnesota, your jersey retired, you got a statue, you got this, like everywhere you went, you left your mark or you made a mark in some way. And I don't know if that was my intent. I think, while I was in it, I was just happy to be playing basketball and doing something I was extremely passionate about. But now when I look back, it's like, well, you did what you were supposed to have done, in many ways. And now you've left a mark that, hopefully doesn't put pressure, because when, things like that happen, people feel pressure to follow you or whatever. But hopefully it just inspires them to want to be hanging in the rafters or doing as much or more than I did during my time.
I think you can officially say, and this isn't a knock on you, but you can officially say you've accomplished everything that you can accomplish when it comes to honors and awards and everything like that. I think we're getting to the end of the line, which is it's an impressive list, but it's
is.
I you know
It's
I,
two things,
I
Mitch,
right,
that
right.
gets on me. Two things: national title and a regular season WNBA MVP. That's the only thing in my whole career, but if that's the only thing I didn't check off, then I'm fine.
Do we I know we can't cross off the college or the national title aspect of things, but do we sense a revenge tour or a kind of a out of retirement tour to try and get that title or that MVP award?
No, you know what? I'm planning, if coaching is my passion, I'm gonna try to pull off a Dawn Staley. Dawn says she didn't get one. It was the same situation. She went three times to the Final Four and never came home with a trophy, but yet she has three national championship trophies as a coach. So if my path is to bring some home as a coach, then so be it.
Do you ever see yourself doing that coaching? Well, I know
I do.
you
I
have
mean,
coached, but do you
yeah.
see that eventually an avenue for you?
You know what? I do. The little bit that I have done, I enjoyed it. I was really passionate about it, and I could see myself really putting my all into that, moving forward. Obviously, looking for the right opportunity and the right situation to grow and really prepare yourself for the possibility. So, yeah, I look forward to it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, again, congratulations on the Hall of Fame induction and news. Looking forward to that induction ceremony and seeing you officially enter the Hall of Fame alongside some other Lynx teammates and some Lynx greats. So I once again want to congratulate you.
Thank you.
On you kind of talked about the college game. You talked about Don Staley. I want to talk to you a little bit about the tournament that just wrapped up. Obviously your LSU squad didn't end up coming out on top, but what were your thoughts on the tournament at large and just kind of everything that we saw here in March?
It was amazing to see. I was able to obviously experience it and soak up some of that energy was in the building. I literally just took a moment to kind of look around. And when you see people sitting in the rooftops and the rafters, you really believe like the game has changed. Just from the conversation surrounded it. We walking through the airport now and Don Staley in Iowa and Caitlin Clark is on First Take. We are some of the main broadcasts now speaking about the evolution of the game and the players and icons and, obviously Dawn Staley and who she is and what she means to the game. I mean, it's what we've been fighting for this entire time. It's why I played, it's why the Lynx were as successful as they were. Like, we paved the way for this to happen. And finally, a player, it took players like Caitlin Clark, Juju Watkins, Angel Reese, Paige Beskers, and some others to come through and really, get the visibility that they needed, but it's here and it's what we've always known that we had a great product. People just needed to see it and invest in it in order for it to explode.
Right. And I mean, you talked about, getting the eyes on the game. I mean, seeing some of the viewership numbers has just been mind-boggling for me. I mean, 18.7 million tuning into the national championship game. I mean, we had that 12.3 million that tuned in for the Iowa LSU game. I mean, when you see that, what are your thoughts on that and just how it's exploded? Because I mean, it's something that you've known well, you've lived it. I mean, it's something you advocate for, but now other people are starting to no, not only notice it, but it's the main thing is just getting their eyes on it too, which I think has been the biggest hurdle.
Yeah, it's almost like, I told you so. It's almost like, I told you so. For so many years, we would go into different meetings and we would have to hear people talk about how, oh, people don't, it doesn't sell. People don't see it. And we're like, well, it's hard for you to watch. They got to go on League Pass or they got to go on this channel. And if it's playing on this channel, then you can't watch it on that channel. And you got to pay for this channel. And I'm like, it was very hard for a very long time to be a women's basketball fan. And now the floodgates have opened and visibility are there. ESPN, what was the peak? I think it was 18.7, but the peak of that game was 24 million people had eyes on the game, conversations surrounding that game, controversy, all of this stuff that organically just happened because of what they were able to see on the court, which was the most organic basketball, the most fundamental basketball that we have been telling people for a long time, that exciting. For so long we've had to fight the idea of lowering the rims and this and that. We don't have to hear that conversation anymore because now people are like, oh my God, these girls are amazing. You know what I mean? It's so much stuff that we had to fight through and fight for. And I think, social media, NIL deals, branding, all of this stuff kind of brought the attention because people wanted to know who Angel Reese was and who has this 1 point something million dollar deal and she's on this and she's doing that. So it's like, well, who is she? What's going on? So I started to slowly, veer in our direction. And then with the success that they started to have, it was inevitable that, things were going to take a turn. And I mean, I thought it was going to be a slow turn, but it was a quick turn where I don't think we're ever looking back. You can't go back to where we can't, where we were because of the way we've accelerated.
Right. And how do you think that will translate into the WNBA or carry into the WNBA? I mean, people talk about all the time of, NIL or, should, for example, like Caitlin Clark, should she enter the WNBA? Should she stay in college? I mean, for me, I personally think, those players going into the WNBA is obviously going to only help that game take off to the next level. It's going to increase, people that really did enjoy the college game are watching Caitlin Clark, Paige Beckers, Angel Reese, whoever it may be. They're going to now tune into the WNBA maybe a little bit more to see those players. I mean, we're even seeing teams like the Las Vegas Aces are changing arenas are moving to a different arena to accommodate more fans for when Indiana comes to town and Caitlin Clark hasn't even been drafted yet. I mean, how do you think that, you know, that will carry into the WNBA, or how do you believe that the WNBA should kind of take advantage of that?
I mean, that just what you just said, I mean, Caitlin Clark is changing the game. I think everybody has sold out of that Indiana game, and she hasn't even been drafted yet. People are, you know, someone I was just talking to not too long ago said that they made $14,000 just off of tickets, like selling tickets to a game that she hasn't even been drafted to. So that impact, and then you think about brand deals and stuff like that. We've always had brand deals, but she's going to come in and raise the value of those brand deals now. And the viewership that we're going to gain is going to help more players be seen. I think before, especially during my time, people follow players. You know, they were like, oh, okay, LSU fans supported money because she went to LSU. Maybe not necessarily the links all the way, but then as time went on and our team got better, then people, they was like, oh no, the links, like money's over there, but the links. I think Caitlin Clark is going to bring initially all of the state of Iowa to the WNBA watching her, but then just on her team alone, she has Aaliyah Boston, Alyssa Smith, Kelson Mitchell, so many great players that have been there that now they'll get the chance to kind of explore what the WNBA is all about and be a part of it in a grander scheme and really help our game in a sense of, like you said, growing the viewership as well as growing brand opportunities for the players.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Kind of shifting a little bit to now the WNBA and your former squad specifically. What are your thoughts on what the Lynx have done this offseason? They've kind of had a little bit of a busier offseason, obviously signing Courtney Williams, Natish Heidemann, and Alana Smith. What do you think that, you know, the team looks like right now? Kind of, well, they're still going to be, you know, entering the draft here in mid-April, but going to be adding a player or at least a couple players in that draft. But what are your thoughts on what they've been able to do this offseason and kind of reshaping or kind of adding to the roster, I guess?
Adding, we should say reloading. What picks do they have? 7 and 31, right?
Yep.
7 and 31 this year. Mm-hmm. So you're hoping to get a great pick at 7. And obviously, you know, Cheryl's been great at scouting talent. I remember we was able to grab Sade Houston at number 3, and she was a vital part of one of our championship runs during that time. So, you know, you can't really count those lower picks out because she knows how to eye talent when it comes to those positions. But as far as the acquisitions of Courtney Williams, Heidemann, and Alana Smith, I was like, to be honest, excuse my mouth, I was like, oh, shit. And those were some solid pieces to place around a player like Nafisa, who's obviously elevated her game to MVP status. And, you know, you need vets, you know, Kayla McBride being there with Courtney Williams, with Heidemann running the show, which was, you know, one of the weak spots, I believe, you know, at the point guard position, you know, had some players playing out of position with Tiffany Mitchell trying to handle the ball at times. So being able to have someone up there that I know can basically facilitate the offense that I know and that I love and that's the Hall of Famer, to have a player like Courtney Williams who can fly off of pin downs like myself, Amaya Moore, and also have, you know, shooters surrounding Nafisa like Kayla. And then also just having Nafisa and continuing to build on her growth and her development, I see a very solid year. You know, some people may not expect a whole lot, you know, from the Lynx, but I know all too well what the team is capable of. And I know what that woman that's sitting in that front office is capable of. And so I can only expect that they're going to have a pretty solid season.
Yeah, that kind of feeds into my next question. What do you kind of, you know, expect out of them? Do you expect, you know, them to take a step up this year? Obviously, the rest of the league is very talented as well. But what are your expectations, I guess, for the outcome of the season for the Lynx?
Well, we expect nothing less than making the playoffs. Obviously, championship talk, even during our time with the team that we had, we talked about the championship the first day of training camp, and that was the last time we talked about a championship. The mindset that we had was every regular season game was playoff games. We looked at each series that we had with each team as an opportunity to kind of capture that, you know, capture those wins and solidify yourself or your positioning come time, you know, later in the season when people are fighting or vying for those playoff spots. We looked at that as an opportunity to just kind of, you know, get our wins early on. And then once we make it to the playoffs, those are championship games for us. We focused on just, one game at a time, but knowing that the end goal was to hoist that trophy. Obviously, like you said, we can't get that too far ahead of ourselves. So I think game by game is going to be the process for this team. Just keeping their head on straight because it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for them. And it's going to require a lot of leadership and maturity, moving throughout the season with the way that you say everyone else has gotten better. Vegas is still Vegas. Vegas is still Vegas, and that's who everyone is aiming for. New York is still New York. That's who everyone is coming after. Indiana is now a threat, a serious, legitimate threat. I mean, we can go throughout the league, and each team now, possesses the talent that anyone can win a championship at any given year, any given moment.
Are you speaking of kind of the season and the games, you plan on coming back to watch some Lynx games this year? You'll be tuning in on TV. I know we obviously have the Mai Moore retirement coming up this summer, but you planning to come to Minneapolis at all?
I do. I plan on making a few trips up there and kind of soaking it in. I have to make my food rounds. I got to get to Lotus Cafe, get my pho, and got some other places that I would like to be. But most importantly, just getting back in the groove of supporting the Lynx. And obviously, with Maya's jersey retirement, I'll be there as well.
Absolutely. What's your favorite spot to you just mentioned one, but what's your favorite spots to eat in Minneapolis?
Obviously, Lotus. Man, I got to think of the other places. The Indian spot, it's on the other side, close to the U of M. I can't think of the name.
That's a
Dang
go-to
it, you
spot
put
though. Did you go there a lot during the
it's.
finals?
Yeah, I used to go there. No, well, when I was playing, my go-to spot was Noodles and Company.
There's nothing wrong with
Noodles and
that.
Company. Yeah, I know. I have my regiment, but like outside of like my regiment, like yeah, Lotus and it's the Indian spot that's on the other side of the river. Near the U of M that I would go to all the time. And then there's Pimento. It's a Jamaican spot that I would frequent all the time there. And there's one other spot I can't remember the name, but I know how to get there. I might not remember the names, but I know how to get where I gotta go.
Is it Jewel of India?
No, it's not Jewel of India. It's
I'm just looking up
oh my goodness.
some places. Well, that's good to know. I'll have to do my research and look some up because there's some great spots in Minneapolis.
Well, what's your choices? Come on, you got to give me the deets. I
Oh
haven't been there
man.
in what, 4 years?
So this is not like my go-to spot. I haven't actually eaten at a lot of spots down in Minneapolis. I'm
Okay,
from
so
out of
where have
town,
you eaten?
so when I worked for the organization, we would always
Okay.
go to I take this back. I do like the Loon. They have some good solid food, but
Okay.
we used to go to Cowboy Jack's all the time when we worked for the organization because they used to have, what was it? I think it was Wednesdays. They had dollar burgers, and then you could
Oh.
get like it's like 50 cents a topping, and then you could get fries for a couple bucks, and they give you like an ice cream cone at the end. It was the best deal you could possibly get. You could go there for like $5. It was phenomenal. But
Oh, okay.
so that's one thing I was used to. I have no idea if they even offer it anymore, but
Dang.
there's a lot of good spots. I gotta dive into more spots. I do really like if I'm gonna make kind of go down towards the cities are like kind of on my way because I live in central Minnesota right now. But if I'm gonna make my way down there, I really do like Crave. Crave has some
Crave,
solid food.
yeah. Yep, you're
But
right.
I really do like going there too. But you can never go wrong. There's a lot of good spots. I think if I lived down there permanently, I'd probably spend way too much money on going out to eat because I could
I
go to
know
a
that.
new place every week.
I know. Famous Dave's too. They got
Ooh, yeah. Their cornbread
the
is so
type.
good.
Woo, what you talking? The cornbread, and then I get the pulled chicken sandwich. Oh my
Ooh,
God.
okay. That
Ooh.
that's I you can never go wrong with barbecue. I'm a big
No.
barbecue fan myself. But
Good.
they're actually so in the Skyway when I worked for the organization in the Skyway by kind of by Target there used to be I think there still is. It's literally called the Salad Bar, and I would go there probably 2, 3, 4 times a week for lunch.
Do they chop
Phenomenal.
it up? Do they
Yes.
chop it up? Oh, they do?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, because I don't like, the big salads, they don't chop it up for you. Oh,
Right.
man.
Yeah,
Yeah.
they mix everything in and then they chop it up and then they put it in a big bowl and
Woo.
oh, it's phenomenal. But
And that's a salad bar. You think it's still there? I might have to try it. Okay.
it's solid. It's solid. You know Freeman. You could ask him. Him and I used to go there all the time to go to the salad bar. So
Okay.
he'll know all about
All right.
that. Well, Simone, I appreciate you joining. Once again, I want to congratulate you on entering the Hall of Fame. Well-deserved honor. And I look forward to possibly catching up with you here this summer when you're back in Minneapolis.
All right. Thank you, Mitch.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Thank you once again to Simone for joining me on the podcast. It's always one of those moments where when I was first introduced to women's basketball, Simone Augustus was one of my favorite players. I'm not just saying that just because she's on the podcast, but I truly mean that. Growing up in Minnesota, I tuned into the Lynx as well as NBA, WNBA. I'm a basketball junkie at large. But Simone was always one of my favorite players. Just her fire, tenacity, her skill set, obviously, and just who she is on the court and off the court. So it's one of those moments where it's almost a pinch me moment for me because I grew up watching Simone, or as I got into my basketball viewership and kind of my basketball fandom, Simone Augustus was there as well as the rest of the Lynx players. And then when I got a chance to work for the Lynx and Timberwolves organization, working alongside Simone on a few different projects and just kind of being around her on a daily basis, it's a lot of fun being able to chat with her now that her career's over. And I'm not just saying this, but it is a well-deserved honor for Simone, not only for the person she is, but what she did in her career, because I think it's very remarkable of who she is, but what she did during her basketball career, not only in the WNBA, in the Olympics, at LSU. And especially when she got into the WNBA, played for the Lynx, and then ended up playing for the Los Angeles Sparks before retiring. So thank you once again to Simone. She's always great with her time, gracious with her time, and I really appreciate her taking time out of her busy schedule, especially with the Hall of Fame news and getting requests from media members all over the world, all over the country, to speak and talk about what this means for her. So I appreciate her taking some time to join Hitting the Hardwood. I also want to take some time to give a shout out to Jeremy Rushing for producing this podcast, as he does every episode. I appreciate Jeremy for all he does for Hitting the Hardwood and all that he will continue to do as we partner here moving forward with Hitting the Hardwood. Also, two more shout outs to our sponsors who have been here since day one. Before I get started or before I jump into that, if you or if you know somebody that wants to be a partner of Hitting the Hardwood, reach out to us, send us email, hittingthehardwood@gmail.com. Reach out to me on Twitter, m_Hansen13, Hansen13. You can visit us on our website, fill out our form to speak with us, to contact us. You can find all those links on our social media pages in our bios to find out where our website is located. But if you know somebody, maybe it's you that wants to be involved, you just let us know. Just let's start a conversation. Let's chat. Let's figure out how we can make this work. You don't have to make a big investment. You don't have to make a time commitment. Nothing of that sorts. If you want to, obviously, we can chat about that, and we can have a conversation about that. But we want to partner with anybody. We want you to partner with us. And if you know somebody, please tell them to reach out, and we'll have a conversation and talk about how we can partner moving forward. But like I said, our two partners that we have had since day one, Homage and Better Edge, are two great companies, two great partners of Hitting the Hardwood. They've shown support for us, the WNBA women's basketball, since day one. We appreciate everything that they do. Homage, you can go check them out, HOMAGE.com. Vintage clothing store, you've heard me say this a million times. Vintage clothing store, they do a lot of great WNBA gear. Any other sporting event or sporting league, I should say, they do a lot of great gear through that website, and it's very cheap, and it's great clothing items too. So go check them out at homage.com. And Better Edge, my friends at Better Edge, I've been blessed to deal with Greg over at Better Edge and the rest of the crew over there. They've been great to deal with. They've been big supporters of Minnesota sports, especially the Lynx, Minneapolis-based company. Their betting platform, their betting system that they have there is one of my favorites, if not my favorite betting platform. And you can go check them out at betteredge.com, BETTOR edge.com. I've said this before, if you're a first-time user, you want to give Better Edge a try, go to betteredge.com/links, use the promo code links, LYNX, and you get a free $20 to play with. on your first deposit. So if you're a first-time user, you want to test it out, just go check that out. Go use that promo code, try it out, and I guarantee you, you'll be hooked like me. And you'll be able to take my money throughout the WNBA season, throughout any other season as well, throughout the year. Especially during the WNBA season, I do a lot of pick 'em leagues or competitions, I should say. And you can bet against me. You don't have to bet against anybody. You can bet against your friends. You can bet by yourself. You can do a multitude of everything. So please go check out Better Edge. They're a great company, and they're even better people. So please go check them out when you have a chance. With that said, I really appreciate you tuning into another episode. I hope you enjoyed the conversation with Simone Augustus. And like I said, at the beginning of the podcast, we're here at the WNBA season. It's officially upon us. You can check out my personal content throughout the year at winsider.com, and you can also check it out at canishoopus.com as I have done for the past few years, but that will continue again this year. There's a lot of great content. I'm blessed to be a part of two great teams with those two outlets, and you can also check out all the latest information, all the Patreon exclusive information at our Patreon page, patreon.com/hittingthehardwood. Try a 7-day free trial, give it a try, see what you think. Get our newsletter, sign up for our newsletter. That comes out at least every Wednesday. Our patrons get it more than just every Wednesday. They get it a couple times a week. But please go check all of that out. You get content there that you won't get anywhere else. And I give you information that you won't get anywhere else. And there's a lot of great information I try and get back to you because you are supporting Hitting the Hardwood and you're supporting myself. So here's to another year. Let's get us started. Now that we have the draft behind us, let's get training camp underway. And let's get this year going. I'm excited to bring you guys another year of WNBA content, of Lynx content, and whether it's through the podcast or Patreon page, at the two outlets that I mentioned before, I do some betting content as well. So you'll find that on my social media as well. But I'm really looking forward to another season. I think this is year 9 for me, 8 or 9. It's been that long. I've kind of lost track, but it's a blast. I really appreciate all of you supporting all the work, whether it's the podcast or written content, anything in between. You allow me to do what I love to do, and I really do love doing this. So this isn't going anywhere. I'm going to continue doing this and continue bringing this content. And I really do think the WNBA deserves this. I think the Lynx deserve this, and I think women's basketball deserves this kind of coverage. So we're gonna turn it up a notch. We're gonna get this season underway, and let's make it a great year. All right, well, we'll talk to you guys soon. Enjoy the start of the year. Enjoy training camp, and we will talk to you soon.